Going on with our study in Ephesians, we are now up to chapter 4. The first three chapters dealt mainly with doctrine and reassurance to the Gentile believers that they were on equal footing with their Jewish brethren. Now we come to chapter 4, which deals with the practical application of the gospel in our daily lives. Ephesians 4 and 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Because of all that Paul has laid out in the first three chapters, he pleads with the Ephesians to walk worthy of their calling or vocation that has been so graciously and freely given to them. They didn't do anything to earn this salvation. But God, by the unmerited favor of His grace, called them out of darkness and caused them to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seemingly, one could not take such an honor so lightly, and yet we do, don't we? Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We bear with one another in love as we exercise lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering. We are to love as Christ loved us and forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. A little reflection on some of our less than stellar past deeds will tell us just how much long-suffering is called for. I would say quite a bit, wouldn't you? Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit is something that we have to work at. It doesn't just come automatically. We remember that as far back as the first church in Jerusalem in Acts 6, there was racial discord and distrust because the Greeks felt that their widows were being neglected in favor of the Hebrew widow. They dealt with the problem head on by appointing deacons. This is certainly a good example of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. We have the phrase keeping unity in the bond of peace. A bond in this case is an adhesive. If we mix sand and water together with cement powder, we end up with a solid mass. The bonding cement has surrounded each particle of sand and stone, and we end up with a solid piece of concrete. This is what happens when we apply the bond of peace to the Church of Christ. We have people, particles of every nation, creed, and color who have different backgrounds and practices. When we are all mixed together, we are surrounded by the bond of peace, and we become one entity. Jesus is our bond of peace, Ephesians 2:14. He was chastised for our peace at Calvary, Isaiah 53. And He left us a peace that was not of this world, John 14:27. Because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Because we have been filled with His Spirit, we enjoy righteousness and peace as a fruit of the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17, Galatians 5:22. The Ephesian church was comprised of both Jews and Gentiles. Many of the Jews still kept the law, while the Gentiles had very few restrictions placed upon them. This certainly called for tolerance and understanding between the two groups. Well, is it any different today? Even within denominations, there are wide differences in practice, much more across denominational lines. Verses 4 through 7 give us what is called the seven unities. God is one, and His plans and purposes were set in place before creation. We, as diverse as we are members of His one body. God's one Spirit dwells in us because we have believed the one faith and submitted to the one baptism. Because of this, Almighty God is pleased to dwell with us all. Jesus died for His church, period. No distinction of race or denomination, no high church or low church, no white church or black church, simply His church that He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20:28. When we get to the throne, we will see this one entity of every kindred, tongue, and nation praising and magnifying their Savior who bought them with His blood. We will be unified and at peace there. Perhaps we need to try a bit harder for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace here. God bless you.